Revelation chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. This is a series. This is a series under the title, A Letter to the Church at Orton Park. For us today, this day in March, a beautiful day that we've enjoyed, hopefully. Whatever you've been going through, it's been a nice and sunny day. It's spring now. We're out of winter. And here the Lord is speaking to us from Revelation chapter 3, verse 6 to 13. Verse 6. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philippi, Philadelphia. Right. These things says, he was holy, he was true, he was the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word. I have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Isn't it interesting? Each church has an angel. Have you noticed that? To the angel of Ephesus, to this church. Do you believe we have an angel? What does it mean, an angel? A sent one from God. Each church is individual. There is no two churches alike. Like there is no two people exactly alike. Isn't it interesting that when the apostles left planet Earth, they didn't leave us with nothing. They left us with a rich history of experience and of words that God had given them for us today. Do you believe that? These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Isn't it interesting? Seven letters to seven churches. Five churches had big problems, didn't they? Only two churches didn't have anything that the Lord was against in their church. There is no perfect church, but as sinners saved by grace, we can please our God in our church and how we worship. This is a church unique. But in some ways, it's like every other church. These things says he who is holy, who's speaking, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is holy, separate from sinners, perfectly pure. He who is true, he cannot lie. He gives us the truth. He who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Isn't that interesting? A key. What does a key do? What does a key do? It locks and it opens. I haven't got the keys to your house, and you haven't got the keys to my house. Have you? So you can't get in my house without me opening the door. And here is a key. The key of David. What is that? Why is David mentioned? Because it's a kingdom key. This is a key to the kingdom. It's open. And it can't be shut by anybody that hasn't got the key. Who's got the key? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's opened a door for you and me. Do you remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? They'd been in Egypt and they cried out to the Lord and Moses led them out. It's been a beautiful day today. Where do you normally spend a beautiful day? If you buy it, you want to go down by the seaside. So he led the children of Israel out. Was there over a million? To a place that was covered on all sides except facing the sea. So it was surrounded. And the Egyptians had decided to come and get the Israelites back to serve them. And here it is. There is no way that they can escape from the onslaught. And this is what they said to Moses in Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Do you ever feel trapped? Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever find yourself not knowing the direction in which you should travel? The direction you should go? Do cares of the world, do problems happen in your life that you think there is no answer to? The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel should go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Isn't it interesting? What lies people tell when they're struggling? They weren't comfortable in Egypt. They were servants, they were slaves, they were whipped, they were beaten. Their children was taken off them and killed and slaughtered. Why would they want to stay there? When they saw fear coming, the Egyptians coming, they cried out and their fear overtook them. But not Moses. Moses directed them to the Lord. And the Lord today says to us, he has opened a door for us that no one can shut. You see, when I talk to my Catholic friends, they believe in succession of apostles in the church. So they believe the Pope is the succession to Peter. They believe in praying not to Jesus or to God. They believe in praying to Mary as a mediator between them and God. As a friend to call on. Jesus himself has opened the door. He is the only mediator that we need. When Jesus died, did he die for you? Did he die for all your sin? Or is it any sin that he didn't die for you? When Jesus died, did he take the full punishment? Or is there something else to come? Did he give you, when he died and he rose from the dead, did he give you his righteousness? You see, if Jesus didn't die for you, you're still in your sins. If he didn't die for me, I'm still in my sins. But if he died for me, he's paid for it. All my sin. No more to pay. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished. No more to pay." If Jesus died for you, you will come to him. He calls his sheep out of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus didn't die. There's nowhere in Scripture that Jesus says he died for those that are in hell. And you might say, well, that makes God unfair. People don't have a chance. It also says, we are without excuse. Jesus calls people to come to him. Will you obey or will you disobey? Will you go out and serve him? Will you speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ? He's opened a door for us. He's opened a way that we have a personal relationship with him. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. He has written on us. These things, back to Revelation chapter 3. verse 7, verse 8. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word. This place in Asia was a place of earthquakes. And if you know anything about this name, do you know what it means? You know what this name means? It means a city of brotherly love. And when we look at this name, where do you look towards? Which direction do you go? Most people go to America, don't they? And think of it. This is a place in Asia. And Asia, Philadelphia, in Asia, was a place that was known for a brotherly love. You see, this place here, when Jesus was a young man, it had an earthquake in AD 17. And the earthquake shook so badly that every building perished. There was only one thing standing after this earthquake hit. Do you know what it was? It was a pillar. That was the only thing standing. This is a place that is rich in agriculture. It had very good soil, and it was a main trading route. Asia. What was it like to evangelize there? Well, we believe Paul evangelized. Well, we know Paul evangelized, and we think he spoke mainly in a lot of these areas. And in the second letter to the Corinthians, he says this about it, his time in Asia. For we do not want you, verse 8, in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. You see, prayer is a vital component to the church's life, to any church, to us as individuals. It's how we should breathe. It's so vital. We pray together. God calls us to pray together. So it is great to see you tonight, that you've made the effort to come out. That is great. And we hope and pray, don't we, that our church, our gathered church, would get a vision from God, that they would see the door open of being able to evangelize and be clear in our testimony to the outside world in the area that God has placed us. You see, when we get a grip of what the Lord is saying to us, and we hear him, he has opened a door. This letter is for us. He opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, he knows all about us. You might think, like this church, it says, for you have a little strength and have kept my word. Maybe you think we need more people to be able to reach people around. Maybe you think we need some superstar name. I wonder how you measure success.
You see, the world measures it this way. If a big pop star put on a concert at Wembley Stadium and only four people turned up, and he sung his heart out, but only four people turned up, that would be classed in the world's eyes as a total failure, wouldn't it? It's all about numbers, isn't it? He could sing exactly the same songs. He could sing with all his heart to the capacity of Wembley, about 100,000 to 100,000 people, and sing in exactly the same manner. And it becomes a success because there's 100,000 people listening.
When you speak, wherever you are, in your place of work or your home, it doesn't matter how many people hear you, whether it's one or 100. Doesn't, does it? In the Lord's eyes, the key to understanding this letter is faithfulness. William Carey, a man who has a big impression in his day, when somebody asked him, "What can you do for the Lord?" he said, "I'm not very gifted." He was very gifted, but he said, "I'm not very gifted, but there's one thing I can do. I can plod." Faithfulness. Reliability. It's a big thing, isn't it? Faithful. And this was a little church, and they were faithful. And they did not deny who the Lord Jesus Christ was. "And I have not denied, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name." What does that mean, not to deny the Lord's name? When it says that, it's all of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's fully human. He's fully God. He's the judge of all the world. He is the man who was willing to die for sinners. He is the man who never stopped claiming to be God. He is the man that if he isn't God and he isn't fully man, our faith is useless. He is the man that we rely on completely, without reserve. He is the man that we follow. People deny that. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but he's not God. That is not keeping to his name. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I do my best. And he will let me into heaven. That's not relying on the Jesus of the Bible. That's not relying on who he is. He's God. You see, today, I find over and over again, people make a God out of their free will, so to speak. God can't mess with my free will. I have total free will. That is nonsense. Either your free will is totally sovereign, or God's will is totally sovereign. "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." My brothers and sisters, Jesus loves us so much. So much.
He believes. He says, you are the apple of his eye. Do you believe that? Do you believe how much he loves you? He was willing, truly willing, being God, to come to earth, to be mocked, to be spat on, to be crucified for you and for me. How can we not deny him? He must be Lord of all our life. He loves us. Do not allow yourself to tell you the lie. He doesn't love you. He loves you. So precious are you to him. Precious. And those outside, they are Jews and are not. See, Paul, at the time of writing, when John wrote this letter, it wasn't a charismatic church that was the problem. It was Jews. You see, when Paul wrote Romans chapter 2, verse 28, he said this: "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." I've had people in the past say to me, "You're missing something. You don't speak in tongues. Have you been born again? Have you had a second experience of the Holy Spirit? How you feel?" If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm not his. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. He's indwells you. If you are his, the Holy Spirit indwells you. If you are his, this book called the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, you don't need extra revelation. You've got all that you need. It's complete. Somebody's saying to me they have extra revelation, I'm sorry, but they're not being led by the Spirit of God. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean I'm not in the Spirit if I don't raise my hands up in the air. That is nonsense. If I don't bark like a dog. Do you know, that is wrong theology. That is wrong from the Scriptures. It's clear. The Scriptures are clear. Who are God's people? Those who put their trust in him and not in themselves. And look what the Lord says. "Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Now look, there is a separation coming. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels says quite clearly, there are loads of people that are going to say, "Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, I did that in your name." And he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So all those people that believe that they're the Lord's and don't submit to his word, what he has written, are fooling themselves. God speaks clearly. And look, he says, "Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Now, in Acts
there was a man who was known to be full of the Holy Spirit. He spoke well of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people wanted to get rid of him. The enemies that outside, because he spoke so clearly and so precisely about the Lord Jesus Christ from the scriptures, they told lies about him. And when he was presented before the authorities and they trapped him and they wanted to stone him, he said this in chapter 7. Verse 54. When they heard these things, that's the crowd, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stooped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Each one of us, if the Lord doesn't come back, will face death. We will. And some of you might be very worried about how you will die. That's the reality. The Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. And you will know his peace. You will. You will. It was said of the Lord's people in centuries gone by that the Lord's people die well. You will know his presence. You will know how much he cares. Look how tender he is when Stephen dies. It was a horrible death, stoning, but Stephen was able to keep his eyes fixed on the Lord. He was able to pray to the Lord because he knew he was speaking to his Lord. He knew he was closer than a brother. And he prays this prayer. Was it answered? Was it answered? It was, wasn't it? In the apostle, the guy was called Saul, and his life was changed. Because the Lord Jesus Christ keeps his word. He has put before us an open door. To pray, to pray, to pray and to pray and to pray. And the Lord answers the prayers of his people. May God bless his word.